Weekend. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, live last day this week in Denver. And then we're going, man, there's some field trips we're going to do today and some stuff, and kind of some little bit secret, but we will share as soon as we can. But I tell you, you know, lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff is going on. And it's people that just, you know, this is what happens. Yeah, bad stuff happens, bad guys being bad.
They're bad.
And good guys, you either do nothing and you're kind of part of the evil by letting it flourish, or you do something. And it takes time. You know, sometimes you got to go, I want to do something. What are you going to do? I want to think about doing it. And let's go find out what to do, and then they do it. And then you might get some other people go with you, and you do that. And you got to coordinate some stuff. You got to get some stuff ready. You got to get your things in order. You got to clean out the closet. I mean, whatever it is. What was it? Jordan Peterson says, first thing, clean your room. Clean your damn room. And then you can kind of clear your mind and you go do other stuff. Well, this is what's been happening. I've been seeing it. And as you know, certainly I talk about it. And then we try and motivate by actually doing stuff. And, you know, just to demonstrate that things can be done. You go doink the man with a sign or something. But what happens is other people get inspired, or they're already working, and then they're like, hey, look what I did. Looky-see. And, you know, and what you should do, maybe somebody's got a you should thing, you know, but if they're doing, you know, or they thought about it or they learned something, you know, you share. And then things get done. And then another person does it, and another person, and another person, and another. All of a sudden, you got a movement. And this is what's happening. I can see it. But I knew what was going to work towards. It was going to be decentralization. It was going to be, you know, quit having this, you know, Lord Guy King Bufu of all a survey and some far off, we tell you what to do, and I got a shiny badge. That just doesn't work. And if you say, no, I'm not doing that, then what do? I don't know. You know, pretty much that America was all about, you know, the plan was that you get to have your own plan. That was it. You know, America, it's going to give you what? Leave you aloneism. That was the idea. That was the promise. I got a letter from a gentleman, email, concerned citizen in the Phoenix area, and Nathan Dedmore. And, you know, it was an interesting letter. And basically it came down to this. Hey, you know, there's stuff needs to be done. I've been doing a lot of living and searching and educating myself, and I got three kids. And Nathan has three children, right?
Yep.
Yeah, three children. I got three children, and I am concerned. We're going to, you know, choose wisely, find out what's up, you know, share. And he wanted to share with me, and he's done a lot of, you know, I'm sympathetic to this because that's what started with me. You know, I'm 28 years old, have my fourth child on the way, and I'm going, it is not what they are saying. These lying sacks of crap. And when you start going to the top and you go through the checklist of, you know, did you talk to your congressman? Did you write your legislator? Did you go, you know, did you file a lawsuit? You know, did you protest? Did you run for office? Did you go to the press? And you check off a bunch of boxes a bunch of times and have a bunch of T-shirts, and you start to realize, hey, what they were telling you in junior high, how it really worked. You're going, no. And then when you find out, you go, man, if everybody knew this, how are you going to tell them? Well, then there was the internet. Imagine that as a libertarian activist, and you're like 93, 94, and all of a sudden you can start finding and sharing and getting this information and saving it, and you put it off on online, and they had these little, you know, like memory clouds even back then when you had Usenet, and you're pulling these little files, and it's gone. And then I started, oh, we got to have memory. No, memory wasn't there. And oh my goodness, now you get, you know, gigs and gigs, hundreds of gigs of memory on a freaking little thumbnail SD card. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, you know, and, you know, communicate with everybody else, the IPFS and Raspberry Pi, get to share, and everybody get, ooh, man, it's going to be difficult for them if you know what to share. Well, Nathan's going to share with us, and that's why we're going to take the time and make a new friend here, Nathan Denmore. Now, you don't tell me a lot about yourself or your concerns, but you did you know, reference a lot of things that were of interest and told a good story of why you're concerned. So I'm going to just turn it over to you and give you this opportunity to share with the audience what it is that, you know, you're burning to share and I want to listen to. So, Nathan, it's you, man. Go.
Good morning. I really appreciate you having me on, man. There's three people that I would like to share with you and your audience that have made a lot of impression on me that I just can't get them away. You know, the top one would be David Williams, and you can look him up on YouTube, David Williams, Matrix Solutions. And he talks about international law and your right to self-determination, a people's right to self-determination. And ever since I guess it's probably been 10 years now, ever since I heard him talk, it's been sitting there in my head. There's nothing else that that seems to amount to a hill of beans, honestly, when it comes to the approach that he's talking about. As far as, I think one of the main things is that when you turn on the TV, you hear the right and the left, everybody in between, and everybody's entitled to the idea that the government serves us, or is supposed to serve us at least. And everybody's talking about legislation that's been passed that's not constitutional. And everybody wants to propose that we, you know, something needs to be restored, that's, you know, we have to take the power back. And we've lost something. And David's point would be that we never had it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. So he points out the whole we the people, you know, in the preamble is not really talking about the people who resided in the colonies at that time. They're talking about a specific group of people, the people that the men and the families, the founding fathers, and their posterity. And when you read the preamble, if you just open your mind a little bit and consider that there is a couple different entities being discussed there. It's not just this overall generalization of we the people. And we've kind of we've grown up thinking and believing that is us. So, you know, we've all heard say knowledge is power. But what if you got the wrong knowledge? You know, what if all your attention is going towards doing things a certain way, trying to get the power back when
you never even had it. Hold it up right there. We're going into break, and I want to, you know, the power. We have it. We don't have it. But we're going to find out. We're going to drill down into it and break here what we're talking about. And we will be back to share some more.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Nathan Dedmore, he's a concerned father, lives in the Phoenix area. He wants to share. You listen, you accumulate information, you want to make sure we're all on the right path, certainly, and you got children. So you want to, share. Well, just let you know, in the third hour, Max Cain is coming on from farmmatch.com. The short story is he's a teenager, had Crohn's disease, was unhealthy, he decided to take his life in his own hands, tired of going to doctors, went organic, had to travel hours a week just to find the stuff to get to save his life, and he's cured. Well, what does he do? Hey, man, I learned to be a computer geek. And what did he do? He created farmmatch.com, which matches up individuals with needs like cancer patients that need organic, blah, 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 whatever. Where do you get it? Well, you'd have farms and gardens and any and everybody that grew and everybody that needed, they got matched, and you could go shopping for like fresh produce farmers market and around where is it in my neighborhood. Boom. And it's taken off, and all of a sudden I start seeing it all over. I remember talking to him when he was a younger guy, and all of a sudden now he's all over the internet. I'm like, whoa, what happened? Well, get your butt on, because we really pushed that for a while in magazines, and we had events and everything with him. Just glad to see it take on. In fact, where we're staying, Stephanie, just so happens she was the one that introduced us to him. And I'm just going, well, if that isn't serendipitous, well, we'll be talking about that in the third hour. Second hour, just going to yak it, get caught up on some of the news and things that are going on. But now we're talking to Nathan Dedmore, a father, family man in Phoenix, Arizona area. And I want to kind of skip to the end. We're always going to run out of time, such because I'm yakking. But, Nathan, I want to ask one question, and I'll get us going. Why? Nobody ever asks why anymore. And I want to know why you even went down this path of self-education and finding out and trying to understand. What was the original reasoning that you even started to, think this way? Hell, just start thinking. Why did you go down this road?
Find out who owns me. Who, do I own myself? Who do I serve? Who has a claim on me and, my standing as a man on this earth? It's difficult to invite someone to be a part of something until you're a part of it yourself. So for me, I'm just a landscaper out here in the Phoenix Valley. And, the reason why I'm on here today is to tell people to look into this book. It's called The Law of Nations. To look into, it's by Vattel, Emmer D. Vattel. This is the book that the founding fathers referenced when they put together the Constitution. So I'm here to talk about letting people know that this is something that nobody really talks about. I'm here to invite people to go do their own search. Look up David Williams on Matrix Solutions on YouTube. There's some great intro videos that you can get. The reason is, no matter how much busyness you do to get off grid, to be food independent, financially independent, medically independent, you will be squashed inevitably if you don't have political independence, if you don't a separate and equal standing on this earth. So that's what self-determination is about. That's what finding your people is about, rather than just having this vast generalist idea of, we're the people, we the people, the government serves us. Yet, we've done no work, to have earned that, honestly, aside from our fathers our grandparents fighting these wars, dying for this country. It's time for us to start looking into what our founding fathers did and consider if this is something that we should be doing ourselves rather than trying to potentially restore something that might not have ever been ours in the first place.
All right, good summary. This is I want to share this with the audience so that you can understand why I'm so supportive of having you on. When you start doing this kind of research and you start asking questions, what I found out immediately in 1988, 89, I'm going to the library and actually pick up, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and read it straight through. Take you half an hour or something. It's not that big. So you go through it and you go, okay, Declaration of Independence rocks. Bill of Rights, pretty cool. Constitution sucked, in my opinion. It's just all about the power. Power to eminent domain, the power to tax, power to war, the power of, you know, regulate commerce, the power, we're going to do it this way, and we're going to rule, we're going to have this government agency over here is going to tell you what, and then this government court that's going to wear on black robes and say it's okay for them to do it, and sooner or later when you got, you know, the legislative, executive, and judicial all lined up against the rights of the individual, you find yourself in a free speech zone, and it's constitutional. You got 100 mile, you know, on the border to where, yeah, the Constitution don't matter, or we got to lock you down, or we're going to, I mean, I'm going, you know, screw you. That is not what this is. So I'm not a fan. Okay. But what you find out immediately when I was reading a lot of things, and Thomas Jefferson always, you know, kind of, you know, was a favorite, just a concept, you know, I don't care how many slaves he had and so on. That was not what influenced me. What happened was, is that he saw that it was the right of the individual, not a collective, that the collective was there to support the rights of the individual. And then he freed his slaves. but the think that concept there was very, very nourishing to me. But as you do, like what you're doing, you're talking about, what influenced them? Why did they have this idea? This concept. You go back like John Locke, it was like discovering self-ownership was like discovering gravity. You know, they're going, oh my goodness, well what if we owned ourselves, you know, and we're not to some, you know, priest telling us what to do or king telling us what to do, or some priest puts a crown on a king and they both tell us what to do. I mean, you know, it's just, it's amazing when you start having common knowledge in Western culture that the individual is prime, king of his castle, that kind of thing. That influence, that line of thinking, just to go down that road, changes a lot of things. And one of the things is, how do you raise your family? You know, who owns whom? If I own myself, then do I have the notions and potions from the crown and the hypodermic or some shiny badge chasing me going to vaccinate me or something? Am I allowed to say no? You know, should I be even able to? I mean, all these fundamental things that they try to convince you that you don't have a say. Or the collective overrides your say. So when this happens, it doesn't matter where you get it from. Because it can come at, when it's just general public opinion of what Nathan's talking about, then what happens? I don't know. Has it happened before? Is it happening now? We'll have a good conversation with this when we come back from the break here with Nathan Dedmore in just a little bit. You guys stay right there. We'll get to the good yet.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
All right, Nathan Dedmore, what's this all about? You know, people listen to me and they go, hey, man, he that's cool. Yeah, I can have that pay. All right, he doesn't have it all. Or he wants to, you know, if everybody did what I wanted them to do, 5 minutes of their time and $5, and I'd save the planet and whatever. At least Nathan's, you know, actually taking action, doing something. So, and educating himself and so on. But it's just, when you get, you know, if everybody knew, well, how would they? What makes you think they don't know? You know, I give you an example. Last night, you know, Nathan, give me a moment here, and you'll understand. We'll get right to it. Now, he's going to give us out, get pen and paper and so on, and we're going to get Donna, get ready, pen and paper, Donna, hello. Yeah, he's going to give out an email, and, you know, wants to communicate with people that want to communicate, maybe you can communicate. You know, we'll help with that. And last night, there's a, you know, a thrillionaire, you know, whatever that is. But we had dinner with a guy. And I'm going out this afternoon. We're going to go see some stuff, and I'll tell you all about it another time. But what happened was he has a sizzle reel, you know, a YouTube thing, and it's, you know, him rappelling into a volcano, literally, you know, with a spacesuit of freaking, you know, he's one of those guys, you know, taking, you know, the submarine down to the bottom of and having lunch on the deck of the Titanic, literally. You know, a thrillionaire, one of these guys. Well, what happens, his mom found out on CNN that he was did the Titanic thing, and she, you know, Greek mom just gave him a ration of crap. And before, where's my grandbabies? You're doing all this stuff, I ain't got no grandbabies? What the heck are you, grandbabies? So he hasn't had children. But he's 51 years old, so he's like, all right, man, we got to pass this on. I have some fun with, you know, have some kids and, you know, and grandma. But the thing is that, you know, he's not looking to get married. So what does he do? He goes, all right, he has a girlfriend, a good friend that, I'll offer up my eggs. You know, you want to do, you know, we'll sign all kinds of contracts and don't have to worry about it, and it's your baby. You know, have a surrogate mother deliver it, and what country were you going to do that? California is pretty liberal in this kind of stuff. You get the, okay, I got, that's my baby. I had a couple babies. Get some twins, man. What the heck? You know, get grandma all taken care of, and then get to pass on this knowledge and so on. But how does the state get involved? Who's really, you know, you got the technology to do this kind of stuff? You want to do it, and who owns who? What kind of self-determination? What, you're going to give, you know, a good life? Well, like, man, I got resources we can have, man. We're going to make it the best kid ever. Are you allowed to do that? Where's the state get involved? Which state? You have people, you know, grandma from one country, you know, the son from another country, the eggs come from another country, it gets gestated in another country. I mean, at what point, where's the state involved here? So we were talking about different things and friends that have had children that they don't get documented, they don't get the numbers, a lot of times don't even know they exist, and, you know, when do you have to, and what kind of ID do you do? You use a family in Arizona. I have friends, atheist anarchist. He's literally a rocket scientist. He and his wife had their children at home. Fortunately, there was no complications, and when you go to the hospital, and they want to, kind of, whatever, and you got to deal with that. But no complications, anything, recorded it in the family Bible. That's their birth record. It's legal. You're done. Did anybody even know this? Do they even ask the question? Or do they got them sticking and prodding and bleeding? I think I'm born. Oh, and there's a needle for you. Several, you know, and you're an infant and you're not even taking your fifth breath yet. So you have to ask these questions. And when you ask them and you start getting answers, you know, you get motivated to do what Nathan's doing. Now, Nathan, everybody get their pen and paper out and so on. Donna, get this there. Now, if people want to contact you, want to, you know, go down this road with you and have some conversation and help, and you guys have got a plan, what's the email?
Selfdetermine@protonmail.com.
Self-determine or determined?
Self-determine, no D at the end.
Selfdetermine@protonmail.com.
Correct.
All right. Self-determine. Self-determined. What are you going to get with that? All right. So people contact you. You start thinking about these very kind of things. You're getting in. What are you hoping will happen? What is it you're going to share with them?
Just some practical applications with that discourse. There's not anybody talking about doing what the founding fathers did. It's all about, you know, getting back and restoring what the founding fathers did. And that's, I have never been able to prove that that's any of my business. So I would like to not be looked at as a piece of meat. I think most people would like that. And so it's time to get some standing on this earth as men and women. And I don't think that that's really possible without understanding, taking the time, doing the due diligence to look into international law. International law, which is anarchy. So that, I mean, there's a lot of things to discuss. So please come.
What was the influence?
I'm inviting you. I understand it's difficult to invite someone to be part of something until you're part of it yourself. I'm not part of it myself. I'm a U.S. citizen, just like anybody else. Citizen of whatever country they're in. I have done nothing. I'm in the process of learning and trying to figure this out and trying to get people together to talk about it. It has to start somewhere.
Yeah, and just saying U.S. citizen, all of a sudden a bunch of people's ears went up. What? And I got to define all that and stuff too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, you go down the road, man. You know, the U.S. citizen thing, of what, and are you a citizen of, you know, the state that you were born in? Does that even count? And how the federal described in Congress, and they got the federal citizen and then the nation of and America, you know, make America great again. One, tell me which America you're talking about. You know, is it a geography thing? Is it, you know, a legal thing? Is it a spiritual thing? A philosophy? I mean, what the heck? And then great, what's that? How big, you know, a mushroom cloud penis head you have? I mean, I'm like, what? You got to define your terms. So this is what part of this stuff is about. And it's just freaking even asking the question, it's enough to make your head explode. But you got this. It's the most important questions. And it's what they don't want. They, who are they? The ones who won't leave me alone. They, them, those. People just want to be left alone. There's ones that won't leave them alone. You got to find out, do I have a justification for wanting to be left alone? When you run, if you ever run for office, you always run into this situation. You had some function, and they want to know your plan. Democrat gets up and says his plan. Republican guy, his plan sucks. My plan's better to rule you. Then you get a libertarian come up and say, or somebody, or independent, just somebody gets up and goes, you know what? My plan is you get to have your own plan. How about that? That's not a plan. That was the promise. You know, you're going to leave me alone. So in what way or what degree or how can you justify? I mean, what Nathan is doing is going through these fundamental base questions that I have been asking my whole adult life and have, you know, satisfied that basically you get to have your own plan. You know, this whole, the only justification for government is the individual sovereignty of, you know, self-determination of, you know, this is how you declare your independence. Real simple. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? And there's no government form. But then you got responsibility for yourself. You know? I mean, does that ring true? Or you're like,
you know, it's not a form you would submit. I know that.
I don't care. Well, you didn't get the right stamp. Oh, is the Stamp Act now? You know, these are questions, and as you do the reading, like Nathan has been doing and so on, that you find out that these are exactly the same questions that have been asked all this time. The same thing. And the answer is
somewhere. It's time.
It's time to get somewhere. Okay, man, I'm with you on that, brother. We're going into break. Hopefully I've inspired Nathan that when we come back, man, he's going to give us a long line of rhetoric of whatever, get inspired, whatever, you know, and it's self-determined at Proton, right?
Yes.
Yeah, self-determined. Yes, self-determined.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
From.
I want to break free from your lies.
Uncovering the secrets. Exposing the lies. You know, that's why that slogan came. That's why I found out I was Nathan. You know, 30 years ago, I'm Nathan, man. I'm going, what the hell? I just, you know, and when we started Freedom's Phoenix, the webmaster, he goes, well, do you have a slogan you want to do? It just popped, you know, I didn't have to think about it. Like, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. I am so sick of being lied to all the time and having these secrets about everything. And, you know, and a lot of times the reason they're there is because nobody bothered to ask. And when I first started doing radio in 03, that was my biggest thing. Nobody ever asked why. Okay, why? Well, you know, Rush Limbaugh told me to read this bullet point on this card, and it says, that's why. Okay, and then they go on about a little bit, and I go, oh, okay, Why? You go three whys, they fall apart. Because they don't know why. Nathan, why is this important to you?
Because there's blood on our hands, man. E pluribus unum. If you're conflicted about participating, this is David Williams talking right here, and I agree with everything he says. If you are conflicted about participating in war, murder, theft, and international crimes, then how can one sever themselves from that karma? Are my choices really just to protest or vote or unplug and turn off the TV, shut the window shades, run for the hills and be a hermit, or take accountability and form your own way that allows you to do business with others and live, yet have the leverage to contract in such a way that you are not complicit with other people's crimes, doing business with immunity? That's what self-determination is about. That's what understanding international law is about. That's what I'm trying to get people to come on board. Email me. Check it out. Let's start a conversation. And I can tell you everything that I know at this point. But, you know, honestly, we need people talking about it. So that's why I'm here today.
International, you say international a lot. You know, talk about it. Is it a philosophy? Is there a specific law? Is there something written down that's do this? Or is it a concept? What are you talking about?
You know, it's the acknowledgement. It's the acknowledgement of everybody's right to self-determine. So it's really the only real right a man or woman has on this earth. And the international community acknowledges it. And that's the way out of this mess. That's the way through this mess. And there is no other way. And what's really cool is that self-determination is a rather broad concept. So there's a lot of wiggle room. So long as you're following certain tenets, you know, you're not harming others. You're not being a threat. Your purpose is a peaceful settlement of dispute. And you're doing your due diligence. This is the conversation that needs to start happening. And it just isn't. So that's why I'm here. That's what I'm talking about. That's why international law is important. The Law of Nations, this book, again, it's an 800 so odd page book. It's really big. But when you open it up and you just give it a little bit every day, it starts ringing bells.
When was it written? When was it published?
When was it published? That's a good question.
Well, I mean, you know, I think you said it influenced the founders. So, I mean, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I think one of the founding fathers never brought it back to the library. So hundred so odd years later. well, just look it up. It's a very old book, The Law of Nations.
Okay, The Law of Nations, Donna, make sure.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Oh, we're gonna go. Yeah, we got cut off. You know, it was like, oh, is the network? Is this? It's kind of, you know, what the heck? It looks like we got signals. I don't know what. Remotely flipped it off. You're not allowed to talk about that. So we're going to talk about it a little bit more because, you know, because they, them, those don't want us to. You know, this is a good example. Behind the scenes, there's another opportunity for us to join another network. And I wanted to, you know, make it clear to them. I go, hey, I got loyalty to LRM, man. You know, the guys. You know, we're part of, you know, the community. You're going to have to work around that and work with and over again. Yeah. Well, you know, we can. All right. So we'll see what happens. And it'd be a big network, too. So, but I don't trust these guys. You know, anybody. I trust, you know, Ian and Mark to, you know, just, you know, allow me to freedom because I'm the conservative guy. I'm the nice, the way this guy described it. Understand, you need to listen to him. He's a safe Alex Jones, whatever the hell that means. So, you know, I'm going, all right, we'll talk about it. You know, we'll talk about it. And they use this Comrex, what do they call it, codex, the communication ability with the networks. And I'm going, you know, do I want to get a new one? Well, I might now. You know, they do this. But are the new ones more compromised or not? See, I don't know. You know, it's good to have, you know, certainly this is a backup of making sure. So if I get a new one, you know, am I better off or not? I don't know. So, and they're not, you know, these things are like $5,000. I mean, you know, it's not free, but, you know, we'll do it if we need to do it. But the thing is that this new tech, sometimes it doesn't, it's the same brand, same, probably looks the same. You know, they're just newer versions. So I'll keep you guys informed of that. You know, I wasn't going to talk about it, but, you know, since I might have to buy a new Comrex. And then we got the bus. We'll get back in here directly. And I missed my bus, damn it. We set that up to make all this easy, you know, except for where you park it, you know. But that's not been as much a problem as I thought it might have been. But the what we were talking about and we were getting into right when cut off in the last couple of minutes, the last segment, was with Nathan Dedmore. I got the opportunity, and I know, and he listens to the show a little bit, you know, kind of enough to know that we're here and wanted to share and come on, and he's out of Phoenix, but, you know, he's doing his due diligence on a lot of other stuff, and he gets inspired to try and share with other people he think of like mine, or certainly an audience, and of course, we're from Phoenix, and Freedom's Phoenix, and listen to, yeah, you know, he might, you know, get some interest in what I'm talking about. He sends me a letter, well, come on. You know, you express yourself. But what I found out, what I think he's probably finding out, is that this discussion's been going on for freaking ever. As long as there's been communication, you can write down something. It's, you know, these very thoughts of this, and what are you, the individual, up against all the time? Somebody else laying claim to their life, rights, productivity, stuff. You're a slave. Now, how they organize it, and this is one thing that Larkin Rose goes on about. Are you familiar with Larkin Rose? Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, we've crossed paths on the social webs a few times. We don't get along very well.
Of course you don't. But the thing, but you know, Larkin is gone the other way. You know, or kind of, you know, I don't have problems with Larkin. You know, Larkin, one less thing I got to do. You know, out there doing the most dangerous superstition, the idea that there is, you know, no entity, that even the thought of a government is just, you know, abhorrent to him. And, you know, it's hard to argue with them. I mean, there's way too much evidence. So you're looking for, is there some structure or government, or you think there's inevitability, it's a necessary evil, there's some benefit in having some document or something? I mean, where are you at this stage in your philosophy?
I just think that we all are looking for a way out. I don't think it's so much of a way out as a way through. As far as Larkin, you know, he might laugh when I say, you know, I'm trying to word my approach. It would be more like an anarcho-statist, you know, because I do study international law. I do see the international law as anarchy in itself, and out of that forms, you know, organizations called nations. It's kind of an inevitable thing. And I have never heard him talk about international law. It's something that he doesn't want to look into or whatever, but it's a huge blind side. And anytime I try to talk with him or any other people who are going along that route, end up gnashing their teeth at me. And, you know, hell, I've been called a troll, you know, because it's like, this is what I'm trying to put out and start a conversation with, but people have anger issues, and you know, and that's what it comes down to. Look, if we're going to get through this with any grace, we have to be honorable, and if there are debts that we have to pay, we should probably honor those debts. If we have agreed to things, if we've agreed to be a voluntary slave, we should find an honorable way out of that.
I break with thee, and I throw dog poop on your shoes. I'm done.
You know, I think it's, you know, it's just as much as your right to self-determine as it's your right to be owned by other men, you know? So,
you know, that is one thing that it comes down to that often. I'm sure you've had this discussion online and so on. That was one of the first things that libertarians, when you become, you know, philosophically aware and you start to, you know, ask all the questions, and it's, do you have the right to enslave yourself? You know, do you have your right to contract to someone you agree to, whatever? And it kind of starts there. If you're free, are you free to not be free? I mean, you know, and how long a determination, and at what age and consent of involuntary servitude can you do to, you know, they used to call that apprenticeship. You know, it's what Paul Revere's father was. They came from Italy, I think it was. And you're going to be a silver goldsmith, man. Get over it and sleep in the back, you know, in the stalls, you know. So it's and that would happen to how they would get passage over. They would pay for their passage by, you know, being a slave for 3 years or some crap like that. So this is, you know, I've had these conversations, and I know where the conversation would go when you're talking about international law. And then it's like, okay, well, who's international law? And they have some jurisdiction over it. You know, when you talk you know, well, I'm a anarchist statist or whatever, and I already know what the rhetoric would be of the Larkin Rose guys. We're at an Arcapoco, and a really good friend of mine, we've been partners in a lot of stuff. His name is Mark Victor, and he's a attorneysforfreedom.com in Chandler, Arizona there. You know, if you've been around or watched news, well, I mean, he's all over the place all the time. We're always doing something. But Mark Victor, he's like, you know, kind of taking your stance. He's going, man, I'm a lawyer. You got to have law. You got to have something. Even in the free market, you're going to have some kind of judge and lawyering going on. There's going to be some adjudication. There's going to be, you need to have, and kind of the international, he goes down that road. Well, he was a speaker at an Arcapoco. Larkin was there, and he wanted to have a conversation. So we just went off into a separate room, and I remember it was, you know, me and Roger Veer and Mark and Larkin and some of the other people, is probably maybe 10, and let them have it out. We'll come back. We'll talk about that a little bit and see, you know, which side where you be on there, because I can see what you're running up against already. We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602 602- 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're talking with Nathan Dedmore. I can see where he's going to start having some frustration. It, certainly, you're going to have conversations online. Everybody's going to, you know, everybody got to have their say. So I want to make sure he gets to have his say. You know, why, what, where, when, how. You know, I mean, let's do it. And the conversation, I can see there's probably, I don't know, you know, Mark Victor's really good at advocating for his position. You know, I got him to run for U.S. Senate against Flake, and then he was kind of pulled on him a little bit. Well, maybe he's not so bad guy. I go, you're going to regret that the rest of your life. Yeah, man, you get the opportunity, you kick them in the face when they're down on the canvas when they're a scumbag. I mean, you know, just so it's just, and he wanted to have a debate with Larkin Rose at Anarchapoco. Now, it wasn't on the schedule. They were both independently speaking. So we went to a side room and said, all right, Mark, I go, here you go. Tell him what's up. So he would make the, well, you have to, you know, who's we and have to what? What are you talking about? So as they go through it, and basically his best argument I think he came up with was you go from one neighborhood to another, and they're self-determined. If you get to have, you know, sex with minors, then what? You know, and then is that okay? Is that not okay? You know, who's protecting the rights of and at what age? And kind of blah, blah, blah. I mean, you go down this rabbit hole. You know, who owns who? Who's going to enforce what? You know, what's the standard of? You know, do you got genital mutilation in the Saharan, you know, Muslim country of whatever the hell is, you know, and then it comes to America and you got transgender. You're not allowed to go through, you know, puberty blockers of we're going to chop off your reconstructive whatever at 12. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, these things need to be addressed. But by whom and with what authority? So I understand this is where these arguments go, and it's always how many anarchists can dance on the head of a pin. It is, and then you go down that road, but where I'm at is I'm like, look, man, you can do whatever the hell you want. I don't care as long as it doesn't bother me and doing what I want. I'm not trying to control anybody else. I can have an opinion, and I think that sucks, and whatever I as an individual and feel my conscience drives me to do something. In 2003, we're going into ready to invade Iraq ground war. And having there was a guy named James Walker Lynn or something like that. And it was a guy that converted to Muslim, went to the Taliban to fight before we even had anything, 9/11, none of that didn't matter. He was like, I'm out of the faith and I'm going to do it. He didn't want to advocate a war. He didn't want to vote for somebody to go to Congress and vote, send other kids to go. He went himself. I'm like, peace out, brother. You want to go fight for whatever? The U.S. troops come in. They arrest him. We got a guy from Michigan or Ohio, where the hell he was from. They go, what the hell? And you go, what do we do with him? Is he a prisoner of war? There's no declared war. You know, is he the enemy? Is he have protection of the Constitution? They didn't know what the hell to do. So what did they do? They came up with this idea of enemy combatant. You don't have constitutional rights because we said. The Constitution didn't care what you're a citizen or not. It's a human being. You breathe in and out. You have certain inalienable rights as a human being. Not because you're a U.S. citizen. And that's why you have immigrants and illegal whatever get access to different government programs and all this kind of stuff, because it doesn't look at citizenship for eligibility for, you know, yada, 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 yada. See, all this stuff is based at a fundamental level of what? What agreement? Who enforces it? What's the details of it? What was the promise? What was the original deal? And if you go, and if somebody has the opinion, you know what? I don't give them any authority to say anything about anything. I'm not bothering another individual. Get out of my face. This is where the argument always goes, Nathan. I've been through this for 30 years. So you're of the opinion that there is something somewhere written down or negotiated or hard forming of a base of something. What is it?
On your heart, man. Like, it's up to us to utilize what we do own. And that is acknowledged by the family of nations. And just that's the starting point. That's the conversation that needs to be had. You know, I don't have a gripe towards the government, the U.S. government, any government. I don't have a gripe towards them. I'm not. I do not want to sue them for wrongdoing me. The point, the finger always points back at me. I have a problem with myself having blood on my hands for things that I don't want to be a part of. I don't want to be a part of, you know, my energy, my life and time going towards wars. I don't want it to go towards abortions. I don't want it to go towards a lot of things. I think that there's got to be that accountability, that self-accountability, that we have agreed to these things. We have jumped on board. Our parents jumped on board, and it's just become so, we're so used to it, that it's cognitive dissonance, you know, abound.
Okay. You keep saying this, I'll let you go, but it's, you know, we, you know, who's we, and how did I get into we or get out of we?
I would say we as the general public, that's it. There really is no, like to my point, there is no we as far as we the people. That, so far as I know, is a different entity altogether, you know? And so therefore, when I'm talking about we, I'm putting myself at the same level as everybody else, as citizens here in America. They're just trying to get by and trying to figure out, you know, how to feed their kids and how.
Yeah,
to
get, I'm get I'm trying to get what I'm advocating for is I don't deal in we, I deal in me. You know, how about me? Me.
Well, that's a good point. Well, what I'm talking about is we don't do me. You know, like we like to blame other groups. We like to, you know, separate without looking at, hey, you know, what was our part in this? Or what was my individual part in this? So I agree. And that's why the finger always points back to me when I'm talking about this. How am I okay with being in this, the lack of standing that I have today? And so that's my whole point. We've got a lot of work to do. We need to stop wasting our time just trying to find a way out or trying to find a way to sue the government, trying to, you know, cause a dispute when we're not actually taking accountability for our individual selves and our part in this. E pluribus unum. We agreed to this. We agreed. We bitch about it. We complain about it. We protest about it.
Nathan, I got to tell you, man, I didn't agree. I don't agree. I've gone pirate. They can suck it. I can be nice about it. You know, we can negotiate. Give me what your authority to negotiate. Well, me and all these people that I say I represent say that. I go, and you look behind him and you go, does that include you? And they go, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. It's not me. You know, I need to know, you know, what we're dealing with here. And I understand the path. And that's why I want to talk more about the, you know, the nation's book, because there's a philosophy behind that. And we're going to find out when we come.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Nathan Dedmore. Freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? Yep. You know, what is the question, Nathan? You know, the question is what? You know, the answer is whatever. What's the question?
What's the question? Do you, are you okay with the standing that you have or don't? You know,
What standing can I claim? What are you saying? You know, we're going to get the right standing. Okay, well, what kind of standing do you want?
Well, we use the term people, we the people, and we generalize that to heck, you know. So when I like to use the word people as, you know, a people, and there's, you know, so I would like to do business with immunity with my people, and my people can do business with immunity with other people's. We might not agree with everything that they do, but at least we're separate from the things that they might be doing, that, that we, you know, our, the blood is not on, on our hands as far as that goes. So that, that would be the point in all this. We have a huge gripe, and we're putting our attention towards griping rather than doing self-determination, getting this book under your, under our belts, the Law of Nations. It's, there's a family of nations, and
okay, wait, you know, see, let's go ahead and talk about this book, because it weighs on you heavily. It really has a big influence on you. It has a lot of things. I was influenced by a lot of stuff, you know, but I kept asking why. And it comes down to, you know, me. When you say family of nations, what about, you know, the family in one particular nation? You know, see, this before COVID's changed a lot of things. It's like a post-COVID world or post-9/11 world or some crap like that, because the world was getting really small. You could go anywhere, anytime, stay any place, go. I mean, it was amazing, which is what the global, they, them, those were freaking out about. They're like, oh, no, you need to get a permission slip of, you know, doing something. Well, now Elon Musk comes up with Starship that just landed, you know, and then it blew up. But, you know, it just landed here a couple days ago, and what are you going to do? 1,000 people at a time can 40 minutes away anywhere in the world. You know, New York to Sydney in a half hour, and boom, I'm here, let's rock and roll, what's up? And I got some cargo. So I'm going, the world's getting small. You know, the pirate ship of Serenity and Firefly, of we're just doing commerce around the galaxy of whatever the heck. And when you get that kind of smallness, people integrate and they negotiate and they have part. And, you know, I'm going, I want to negotiate with that family over there. So now all of a sudden it's going to be some Amazon drone that's going to deliver some whiz-bang product that was made by some tribal whatever the hell in Amazon, delivered to some kid in the Congo, you know, and push a button and it's done. Then what? Well, there's got to be an agreement between, oh, screw that. Agreement between who? Well, the nation's got to decide who gets to the ship. I'm going, yeah, well, I say BS. I'm going to go pirate, and I'm going to ship and buy and get whatever I want from whatever I want, and you can suck it. Then what? So when you say family of nations, I'm talking about a family, not of nations. You know, and if they're going to negotiate on my behalf, well, I like said they could. So when you're family of nations, what are you talking about? Is there some border that I have to negotiate with my border or trade or, you know, help me out here. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about what it's going to take to get the leverage, momentum, and clout to be acknowledged and recognized among that family. And that's the attention that I would like to put towards having, you know, if anybody wants to go on my email, and we could start this conversation. Yeah, micronation, seasteading, all that stuff. There's a way to get through this, and it's not just it doesn't have so much to do with judgment and retribution and.
Well, I give you an example, Nathan, because you know I'm down this road with you. You know, I got to negotiate with. You know, how I take possession of land, is it a trust? Do they even know about it? Am I paying taxes? Because I'm there. This is my part in life. I'll be 60 at the end of March. So I'm going, all right, Ernie Hancock, 60 freaking years old. Starts this when he's 20-something years old and been doing the same battle with these guys while raising kids and grandkids, having business and whatever, and this has weighed on my mind like it has yours for decades. To the what point? One, you raise good kids, this means you're raising good grandkids, and I'm sad I'm good. I can go out now, and I did my part. But now it's for my wife and I. Now we got to decide. So we're looking at land. Where we get land? What county? Some counties you don't need permits. Some counties you need a permit to not get a permit. Then in some counties you got to be all permitted, Z-piled up. And in that, you know, certain area that you're buying, does it have a homeowners association or not? Are you allowed to blah, 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 blah. So I'm going through this crap right, not later. So as yeah. I'm doing this,
so like, let's talk about an HOA. You know, I don't like them, but if I move in a community and I agree to those terms, I don't have any leverage. I to really alter or make any variations of contract of that agreement that I signed in coming into this subdivision. And so I have to abide by these stipulations. But what I'm talking about is having that leverage, having that ability to make a variation.
Was it my railgun, my ion cannon, my Marvin the Martian button? I mean, is it always, it comes from a barrel of a gun? Is that what you're saying? I mean, join us above the grid.
You got to focus on all these things that you've been focusing on yourself, the financial independence, food independence, you know, all these things they need to keep building. But on an individual scale, on a family scale, but then as a people scale as well, as a people in the community, you know, that knowledge of international law, the right of self-determination, that will form that people in an honorable way. You'll all be looking at each other, men and women, and that is the goal. Right now we're splintered, divided, you know, we're all separated by, oh, I'm an anarchist, I'm a statist, I'm this, I'm that. Right now, peoples need to be forming. And that is through self-determination. Peoples need to be forming, and that is where we can start gaining the ability to make variations of agreement, doing business with immunity, to where, you know, hey, it's not that, it's no longer on our hands anymore, is the blood on our hands, as far as being, you know, our energy is going towards things that we don't agree with, that go against everything that
oh no, I'm for you. Got the right to contract, negotiate, and hell, it break it if you want, and there's consequences of what's that, you know, whatever. See, this has been being in your position, there's going to be a lot of people that'll call and be, all right, let's have an intentional community. I want to live with you. Yeah, Nathan, I need you as a neighbor, man. Let's do it. Let's raise our families together and join the church or the non-church or the whatever, the collective of, you know, leave us aloneism. And you got to take your turn on the wall. I mean, you know, whatever it is. So I'm going, okay. So I always ask, I go, look, you want me to join your hippie commune of libertarian, leave me aloneist collective of whatever? Okay. I need to ask three questions. What do I have to do? What am I prevented from doing? And what's your conflict resolution? So that's only, so for me, if I, oh, Ernie, where are you going to be? I want to go live with, buy on your property of kind of like, whoa. I need fences, man. I mean, this is my property right here. See this line right here? This is mine. That's yours. This is mine. Yours, mine. Yours, mine. Okay. So that I see private property rights, and one of the roles of government was to protect property rights. Well, are they? Well, we just eminent domain, and it's ours now. So I can understand it. Fundamental base questions that we have to, and I encourage you, go ahead and give out your proton mail again, where you're going to have this discussion with people.
Self-determined
at protonmail.com. You know, conversation with Nathan. You know, be open, we're all going down the same path. We're learning to find ourselves. We're finding out what's up. You know, this is a good thing to do.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Nah, we kept Nathan the whole 2 hours, man, because. You know, I'm because. You know, one thing I want to show, I brought this up, you know, this, I'm just doing, sharing a screen with him. We're doing Zoom. And I go, you know what? I just do a graph. I never got to do this before. It's the first time I've done this, you know, live on the, I mean, you guys aren't seeing it, but, you know, get over it. So what I'm doing is I'm drawing a straight vertical line. I'm making a graph here. And I go, all right. And then I put, you know, that's at 0%. And then on the right side, I got a straight vertical line. Now, between them, you know, I'm doing a curly line here that I can, you know, bend. And I get the base at the bottom. And I go, all right. So I got my little graph. Now, what I'm doing is I put in a hump here. And this hump. Well, but you see what I'm doing here, Nathan?
No.
Yeah, you don't see the screen?
No. I still see the
pirate
the
thing.
Website.
All right, this is what I'm going to do. Then I'll go share screen again. I hit that and do this. Okay, now do you see this?
Yeah.
Okay. So What I'm doing is I go, all right, what I want to do is I'm going to take a graph, and we're going to put, this is the opinion of the people. You know, this is where they're at. And I got over here, I got 0% liberty, 100% liberty. All right? The people are where? All this battle between the people and the Republicans and Democrats and everything is just general public opinion. Where is it? You know, and it's, you're going back and forth. Well, my goal has been to take this hump and move it over here. That's all I want to do. And the best way for me to do that is, where am I? You know, I'm going to go, I'm going to say, yeah, probably I'm like, you know, here. I'm going to take me and I'm going to move way over up on the, you know, I'm going to be right here up against the anarchy wall, man. You know, put me right here. I'm up against the wall. If I take a total kind of the, you know, like you would Larkin or whatever up against the wall, I vote none. All right. Well, what happens? I keep making this argument. I make this argument because I'm trying to move this hump over. Well, you had the Democrats at the top, little left of the hump. They're right here going, oh, we want this, and we're going to try and claim all these people over here. Then you have the Republicans a little bit to the right of them, and we're going to claim this over here. Where my goal is to move this hump. I'm going to move it over here because I know the left and the right, and whoever's trying to claim that they, you know, we the people, whatever the heck that is, they're going to try and claim the majority plus 1% of that hump. While they're all arguing about that, I'm like, I don't give a crap. I'm trying to move the hump over. So then I got the R's and D's, you know, kind of coming closer over this way. But over the last, because this is globalist and we need to rule everybody, over the last, certainly, you know, last few years or decade or something, man, they don't even care about this because we control the ballot box and we get to say who's what. And we just go way over here on the left. We claim this. This is where we are. Well, that's not where the majority of the people's opinion is. They go, eh, we don't care because we don't care. We got a shiny badge and vote total say. So I never deal in the politics. I always deal in the philosophy of what? Of what you're doing. I'm going of the individual way up against, I vote none. Now, would I have gotten off my couch if the majority of the people were, you know, the hump was over here? You know, would I even have cared if they're, you know, back here being all free and so on and America is kind of in this area? Probably not. You know, but when they get way over here, I'm like, no, I'm filing suit, I'm doing whatever, make them say it. So you understand where I'm at is not that I'm trying to convince anybody of any particular thing. My big thing is that I want to make sure that they are able to express themselves, they get to have an opinion, and that I get to have mine and try and change the general public opinion way over. More freedom is better. Freedom is the answer. What's the question? If that's the opinion, then how you do what you do, your freedom is an individual decision. The mistake that people make is they're going, you're free to do what I tell you. We made a deal and signed here. Or you already did. And I say you're in it. So when you talk about, you know, the rule of nations or laws of nations or nations, man, I got 15 gazillion questions. I'm going, okay, well, who's that? And why am I negotiating with them? Why I can't talk to a family in Australia? I can't sell widgets to, I mean, you know, because of what? Well, there's some deal or something. Whoa, man, you lost me already. So that's why I do what I do the way I do. I don't get in arguments and philosophical whatever. I just go, I put my hand on your shoulder. I go, who owns that? You know, is it you? You own yourself or somebody else does? So these are very simple, basic, fundamental questions that I go through. So to have this conversation, I already know where I'm going to be on this conversation. You probably do, too. If I join your group, I'm in there. I'm going, all right, says who, you know? So this is, and you're so influenced by this nation thing that I need to ask you in the few minutes that we have left, what in there are you holding on to? What's the anchor in there of contract and negotiation with nations? Why would you say nations as opposed to, you know, Juan and Guatemala? I mean, you know, I mean, why a nation? Why a zip code? Why?
Because that's the ultimate, you know, each nation that they're, the governments have that ultimate authority as far as steering, you know, the direction of their societies. And if you find yourself in a society that you don't agree with, if you find yourself in a gym membership you don't agree with, you know, you can practice the right of exile and leave that gym, leave that country, go expatriate. It's pretty expensive, though, to expatriate, especially from here, as far as what I've heard. And, you know, lots of talk, especially even on the news, about seceding. And it just, this is what's always missed. It's what's always missed, is that the standing that we think we have as U.S. citizens, as being of the people, by the people, for the people, that people, it's a belief. You cannot try it. Try and prove that you are, were, ever, what, were of we the people. Okay? Try and prove that. Okay?
Oh, the man's already got, you know, I go on this sovereign thing. They got the capital letters of you're a federal people people.
This is old news, but it's still amazing because a lot of people don't know it. They don't know it. So this message is something that needs to be constantly, you know, regurgitated and you know, so that line, that freedom, you know, that liberty line right there.
The
curve does come out that the general public needs to be aware more of what we're talking about today. This conversation,
it started with me. It was interesting. I remember when it happened to me. It was in eighth grade. I'm junior high. They're sitting there talking about there was a POW that was in, you know, Ho Chi Minh, Hanoi Hilton, whatever. He was a prisoner of war. And they were really going about the domino theory and communism and, you know, the Cold War and all this kind of stuff, because my teacher at the time, she just, man, you know, America and they're bad and so on. And I asked this one question. I'm going, well, what do the Russian people think? It was like I freaking, you know, mooned her or something. I mean, what do you mean, what do they think? What do you care what they think? I mean, you know, it's the nation's own. I'm like, whoa. It was amazing that I'm going, well, did they want to be communist? Do they want to be enslaved? Do they want to have, I mean, I don't know. I thought, you know, if they're sitting there going, hey, you know, they just give me everything a body needs in my matrix gruel of, in my shipping container next to the, you know, the subway system. I mean, are they happy? I don't know. What do they want? You know, do they get to decide self-determination if I want to be communist? I mean, the fact that I even asked that, I was like, you know, oh, man, well, I can't believe you. I'm going, whoa, I'm not allowed to ask that? And that right there kind of, you know, what's the self-determination of the individuals there? Do they want to be not free?
Let's say I can, or somebody else sends me an email proving that we are the people. In the preamble, that is specifically talking about, you know, all of us, the general public. We
got into show music, so you got like 10 seconds. You know, make your point real quick so we get it in line.
If we are the people, do we look like it?
More! Give me! I want! Now what? Who do I get it from? Print it!
That's it.
Thanks for coming on, man. I enjoyed this conversation. You know, hold on a second. We'll be right back. Max Cain, it's going to be fun!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines.
And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Oh, we're going to have some fun. Max Cain. I'll get right to it. Max Cain, farmmatch.com. Now, Max and I had talked a long time ago, back when he was even younger. You know, and this is, I'll skip to the end real quick on this, and then we'll go find out what he's doing now. Stephanie Weeks, a good friend, nutritionist, had, you know, a presence online doing that, and she came across, she goes, Ernie, you know, there's a great idea. farmmatch.com. And I looked at the business model, what they were doing. I go, ooh, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Because we were like, you know, self-sustainability, getting organic, and where we were starting to do Gerson therapy, you know, our juicing and whatever, where do you get, you got to grow it yourself or find it. You go to, you know, Walmart grocery and you get their glyphosate crap of whatever the hell that made you sick to begin with. And I'm going, how the hell do we do this? Now, Max Cain, I'll just tell the story real quick so we can get into the good new stuff, and he can fill in the blanks. I want to do that real quick. Okay, Max?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. What Max did, he's a high school student, and he had Crohn's disease, right? I think he had Crohn's, right? So
yeah.
Crohn's, he's not, his intestines messed up. That's screwing up your life. A teenager, you're not allowed to, you know, be able to participate fully and go, that sucks. So
joint pain, abdominal pain, can't sleep, night sweats.
Constantly?
You know. Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
So he's like, I'm going to cure myself, and we'll talk about what he had to get away from and do. Well, he decided that he's going to eat organically, but where do you source the food? So it would take him hours of travel a week going back and forth to find the food that he needed to heal himself. And finally, he had some coding skills or learned or whatever he did. He goes, I'm going to do it. This is BS. I'm going to have where the food is, the people that need what food, and match them. And you go in and you go to Farmatch. I remember when we used to do this, we go in, I go, okay, I got and you're there, boom. And it's down the neighborhood of the farm or the garden or the co-op or the people got, and we started promoting this. And in Phoenix, you got a nice little bump. And the reason was because we was a bumping. You know, where do you get the farm honey and how you sell and do? And Farmatch matched people that wanted with people that had. And that is the beginning of a barter system. That, especially as this whole thing, everything, the COVID, this, that, and all, and the government, and they're bad, and what's going to happen. It always turns into a food thing. And you need some kind of infrastructure mechanism, and maybe you need to get it to where the man can't turn it off because it's not approved food, and we put it on the pirate box. You know, IPFS is for everything. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? I want to be able to find farm match. Tell me every little old thing, fill in the gaps. Max Cain, go, man. It's good to see you.
Man, well, I'll tell you what. If freedom's the answer, what's the question? The question might be something about food. If you look at like everything we need to survive, right? You don't need to go to a movie theater, right? You know, but you look at what we need to survive and like those essential bare things. And freedom is part of that essential thing because a person isn't meant to be enslaved. You're going to go psychologically crazy if you're enslaved, right? And so, but part of that is food. You need to be able to source food, to be able to create your own food, whether you're farming or whether you're getting food from a local farm in your area. You need to be able to be responsible for that and have ownership of that and not rely on someone else to nurse you for your whole life. You know, if we have a system where all the farms are licensed and only the government can say what you can grow, I mean, effectively, you have no freedom. You have no control over your life because food is perhaps the greatest determining factor of your health. I mean, your ability to function and walk and talk and think and, you know, all these functions require
Let your food
eating.
Be your medicine and your medicine be your food.
Yeah, yeah. And if you eat poor quality, I mean, if you put like 50 octane in your gas and the car wants 87 octane, the car ain't gonna run good, you know. So, I mean, you just can't eat garbage food. You're gonna have, like what you mentioned earlier, the glyphosate and all these other problems. You're gonna have breakdown of your health. Your joints won't work. You won't be able to walk. You won't be able to think correctly. I mean, people can tell you anything. You won't even know how to like have a debate and really think for yourself.
And you know, the same people want to give you a vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
You're killing me. Okay, this is one thing. We're in the Love Bus. I don't know if Donna sent you all the stuff we're doing now and the Love Bus and all that kind of stuff. But we're traveling the country in a studio. I'm not in the studio now, but it's a big MCI bus that we put a studio in. We're traveling the country. A gift from a good friend for the trip is called Harvest Host. You ever heard of that?
No.
Harvest Host is where you can park RVs, and it's at some farm, an organic dairy, and the golf course option. You always got to have the golf course. And then you have different places that you can go and spend the night. And the deal is you get to stay there 24 hours for nothing. Under the gentleman's agreement that you spend at least $25 in their little shop or something. And it's always some farm, ranch, organic, whatever the heck. They got a field, and you can park over there and peace out. And in the morning, you go to their little stand in their farm, and I go, we need healthy food anyway. So we go, and Donna will spend a gazillion dollars on all their organic beef, cheese, of goat milk or something, And you keep coming to mind.
Is worth the investment. You get what you pay for.
Yeah. So a lot of times it's cheaper, on the overall, what you're actually getting out of it. It may not be the quantity of freaking, Cheerio pile at your whatever, but I mean, you're getting some nutrition and you're not as hungry and you feel better. So, write that down for me. I think Harvest Host and Farm Match go get together. That'd be awesome. And Farm Match people do the Harvest Host idea, or some of these farms know about the Harvest Host. Now they got people coming in their RVs and just showing up and spending the night and giving them some food. I'm telling you, that's awesome. Yeah, look up Harvest Host.
Checking it out right now.
Yeah, this is a great idea, Yeah. Because I keep thinking of you as we're doing this Harvest Host thing. We stopped someplace, and I'm going.
So people are rolling up in their RVs, staying at farms, getting food right from the farm?
Right.
Oh, man.
See, when I'm driving the RV, what's my options? I got to pay, $60, $100 a night to hook up to the whatever and so on, and I still got to go find some farm match anyway, If I just pull up to the farm match, here's the organic whatever. I pull in at, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, spend the night, get up in the morning on my way to whatever, because the Harvest Host thing is 24 hours. You get to stay overnight. That's the deal.
Sure.
It's free, but here's my food stand. And then you load up.
Oh, man. I thanks for bringing this to my attention.
Yeah.
I never heard about this. I'm looking at it, though. I'm looking. They got a lot of locations around.
Uh-huh. You feel me? I bet you some of them overlap with you.
I bet so too. Huh.
So they need to know about you. We're getting ready to go into break. You're not being able to hear the network, but in 50 seconds it'll start and we'll go into break, and I don't want to talk too much over the music because everybody yells at me, they can't hear you. All right. So this is the deal. When we come back, I want to find out why you're all over the internet again. What happened? What'd you do? Did you start dating a supermodel or something? I mean, what's going on? So we're going to find out. Max Kane, when we come back in just a little bit. See, this is how it's done. What was the secret power of Captain Mark? He knows a guy. Well, I know a guy. Another guy, another guy. You meet the guys, and you have them meet, and then things happen. Freedom! We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Max Kane, one of the nation's earliest real food freedom advocates. He's helped countless farmers around the country defeat government overreach, traveled the nation to advocate for food freedom, and played an instrumental role helping increase access to raw milk. And I think that's where, you know, we kind of, you know, what was going on back then during the Loveolution days, the Ron Paul's doing the raw milk thing. We were like all over that. And that's, you know, where we got hooked up with you. In the late 2000s into the 2010s, Max is the founder of FarmMatch.com, an online marketplace for small farms and local food. You know, how much do you get FarmMatch.com? I mean, you're not getting in the middle of the transaction of Amazon if you get a cut of whatever. I mean, that's not really how it works. I don't remember you're really anything other than, you know, when you swipe right on your Tinder date. You know, I don't know if Tinder, you know, comes and does anything or, you know, walks you to the door or something. I mean, you know, what do you do?
When we started off, we were just solely a matching service where we would match up people with farms in their area. And then a lot of the farms asked for an online storefront. So we did build out an online e-commerce platform where if you want, you can order from a farm from your phone.
Really?
Yeah. We did build that functionality into there. Yep.
Yeah, but how do they keep – see, this is one thing that then they have to be up to date. Because one of the things – yeah, here's a farm and I grow and whatever. So you go there and you go, yeah, well, that's out of season, dummy. You know, we don't have – so how do you get the updated what's in stock thing? Do they have to maintain it?
Yeah, the farmers have to maintain – if for the farmers that want a store, they have to maintain that.
Okay.
Yep.
So how? What's your business model? How are you getting a cut on the store? Is it donations? Is there membership fees? How does that work?
We have a few different options for the seller gets to select if they if they put a store up, they get to select whether they want to pay a percentage of their sales, or they can have the buyer pay a fee when the buyer places an order. So either the buyer can pay a fee or the seller can pay a fee. You know, and that's at the seller's discretion how they want to do it.
Well, is this a, you know, voluntary, required, part of the, you know, help a brother out? I mean, what are you talking about?
To be on the listing service, there's no fee whatsoever. If you want a storefront, then a fee is required.
Okay. So, and how many, what numbers are we talking about? How many participants you have buy-in? How many farms? What's up?
Oh, man. And we've got about 4,000 farms in our database on our e-commerce platform, which is newer. It's still kind of relatively in beta. We have about 35 farms on the e-commerce platform. The e-commerce platform did $5.7 million in revenue last year.
Whoa.
Those are total gross food sales. It's not anything. We didn't put anything near that in our pocket.
Yeah, no. I understand.
But we do have hosting fees and things. We gotta.
I'm with you, brother. Is the future looking good? Are you feeling good about
it? The future's looking real good. We're in the middle of rolling out an affiliate marketing program. This has never been done in the local food movement before. So for people that are interested in helping drive sales to these small farms, they can become an affiliate and make residual income for driving business.
Okay, I want to be an affiliate. I want to be an affiliate driving to all the farms.
Yeah, we'll set you up, man.
I'll do it right now. Gosh darn it. Where do I go? Damn it.
Go to farmmatch.com.
I'll go to farmmatch.com because this is, man, hell yeah. You know, this is kind of stuff I want to, hell yeah. All right, farmmatch.com. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wanted to do this.
You're going
to
see a link at the top called affiliate. Click affiliate.
Okay, get there. Boom. Farmmatch.com, affiliate. Boom. Now what?
And there's a link that says become an affiliate.
Link
on the bottom.
Become an affiliate. Boom. I pushed the button. Yeah. Log in or create an account.
Create
an account. All right, I got that up. I'll do that later. All right.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it. I got it up. We're going to do it. Better get a rat nap. And then I'll get some kind of affiliate, something.
Every time they buy, you get a commission over and over again, as long as they continue to buy.
All right. So what they click on this, they get an account and affiliates with whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, they'll click through your affiliate link and
this is if they use the online store thing, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. But you don't have to do anything. You know, I'm going, okay, let me open up another window so we can, you know, look at this. I'm going to do it on, you know, for the video here and share the screen and for those when I put the video up. Because it, you know, this is cool. So I go to Farm Match. Oh, I want to save that one. Chicago is the center of a national push for quantum internet. They're doing quantum internet now.
The government wants to lock down the internet? Is that what that is?
Well, quantum internet is like they're already doing, imagine this, real-time quantum entanglement, subspace communication, remote control of Mars rovers with no delay. You know, and that, and quantum technology allows for that, and they've tested, you know, it's long story and, you know, whiz bang magic. And then, you know, they get a quantum internet and speeds of instant connected with every, it's, and they rule you really well. So, you know, we'll be talking about that. So as I learn more about that audience, you're going to be hearing about that. But just put in quantum internet Chicago, and you'll see they're already starting these sons of, not for you, man. Guarantee it. All right. So I go into Farm Match here, and I want to sell food. I want to find food. Find food. Go give me some. Now, who's this? Is that? That's not you, is it?
That's me, man. That's me.
So what did you do? Yeah, you went all, you know, bald on me. You know, where did that?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, wear the hat.
I can take my hat off. I got my hair back.
Oh, did you? Okay. Why did you? What was your hair gone for? Why? How did you lose your hair?
You know, sometimes it's just a pain to take care of your hair and deal with it. So you just
I'm hip. I get the cutter and I said, screw it, man. I just do my beard and head and the whole thing, and then people recognize me 6 weeks later. All right, so I go in, enter zip code. So let's just say you know where I was at 85306 in Northwest Phoenix. I'm in Denver now, but you know we'll just do where I'm at. All right, Miller's Organic Farm, Pleasant Pastures.
Go to Pleasant Pastures.
All right, Pleasant Pastures.
Yeah.
And then I can hit shop or something?
Yeah.
All right, go
if
to
you
shop.
Want to, you
okay,
put
then
in
it wants me to go
home
through.
Delivery.
Ah, wants to go in there. Oh, they do home delivery? All right.
Yeah.
You know. So am I going to it? I click and it goes.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a pain. It's going to ask you to put in an address. You can put in a... You don't want to put in your address.
Okay, so to do this, to go to any of these now, I have to put in the address and all that kind of stuff to get to. So that, and but you got the name right there, Pleasant Pastures. All right, well, let me just do that, you know, and see if we can just find it without having to fill out everything. Pleasant Pastures, Phoenix. Boom. See what we get. All right, we're going into break. You know, Farm Match, Pleasant Pastures.
Here's
about
the link
us.
At the top.
I have a link. Pleasant Pastures, where are they at? Where are they at?
This
our mission.
Farm Match.
Pleasant Pastures, welcome to. Boom! Pleasant Pastures, Farm Match, where are they at? You know?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Max Kane. As I'm doing the affiliate thing, I'm going in there, filled down, and it goes, hey, you already got a, you know, an account. And I'm like, oh, yeah. But I got to do the affiliate thing. So I got to find out what password I use, and I'll change the password. The password will get updated, and whatever, we'll do it. So you'll start seeing Farm Match. Do you have banner ads? Do I got to create them? Do you have promotional stuff I can put on the site?
Our affiliate program is really young, so we're going to start creating all that where you'll be able to have banner ads and things you can put on.
Oh, that's awesome. I get to help you by telling you what size I need. So this is what I'm going to do. Write this down right now, okay?
I got it.
We're
going to
do it right now. Here we go. I need a pixels, 600 pixels wide by 120 tall.
Hold on a second. Hey, Joseph. Hey, take this call. It's Vernon. He's going to want the order. All right, I'm back.
All right. So you got a pen, paper on the screen. Send an email to the guy to make, to do, whatever's do it.
Yeah, I'm writing it down.
Here we go. 600 wide by 120 tall. That will go in our email dispatch. That'll be probably the most productive one. Then I need a 760 wide by 90 tall. That goes at the top of all the pages. Okay.
Hold on. You're talking faster than I could write, you know.
600 wide by 120 tall. Then
760 wide
by 90 tall.
Okay.
And then a 120 wide by 600 tall.
Okay.
160 wide by 600 tall.
160 wide
by 600 tall.
Okay.
You do those four sizes, I will blanket the living snot out of Freedom's Phoenix and everything I'm making go were. All right? So I will okay. be expecting to get those banner ads in, and then I'll go through and get my email, get logged back in, affiliate of whatever. Because Farm Match is the crap here. And if Farm Match does, you know, with the Harvest Host kind of thing, doing, you're going, but solutions, damn it. Solutions. Now, tell me, how is it, what happened, that all of a sudden, now I'm seeing you on the internet, but what happened? What'd you do? You know, what supermodel did you marry? What happened?
Now, I just started I wasn't really on the internet much before. I just got on social media and started broadcasting and talking more. I put a lot of videos out about my own healing story, talking about what difference food made in my life. I mean, I was on the internet a fair amount before, but it was just other people publishing more about me, where I'm more proactively myself online as well.
What difference has that made in, you know, response in your traffic?
It's made a huge difference. I mean, people like hearing stories. They want to know that there's an alternative to drugs and surgery. You know, people want hope. People want freedom. They want to take responsibility for their life. They don't want to be in a situation where they're always, you know, looking for a handout from the government or a medical handout from a doctor, or always asking, like, the doctor, how can you solve my problem? I mean, people want to be responsible for their own lives and solve their own problem.
You know, that's what I want to talk about.
Like, take responsibility for your health.
Let's go back to that. You're a teenager. You're a kid. Tell the story real quick. You know what happened?
I was about 11 years old. I had terrible abdominal pain. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. For me, Crohn's disease was a degenerative illness, a digestive illness where I couldn't gain weight or regenerate cells. So went to the doctor and they just put me on drugs. You know, I was taking milligrams of prednisone a day. At the time, I weighed 69 pounds. I mean, 60 milligrams of prednisone is a high dosage for an adult, but it's a steroid that's it kind of suppresses like certain immune function and stuff. So they said I had an autoimmune disease, my immune system's attacking my body. You know, they come up with all these different theories. Never once did they say, hey, maybe all this junk food and garbage and toxins you're putting in your body had something to do with, yeah, you know, these results. That you're getting in
were
your
you fully vaccinated? Did that have anything to do
with
anything?
Yeah, yeah. My vaccine card is, I actually have my vaccine card when I was vaccinated when I was younger. Hey, Joseph? See if you can grab my vaccine card off the desk in the basement. See if you find it down there. I'd love to show you guys this. So on my vaccine card when I was younger, you know what it says right on the front? It says, must show this vaccine card to be admitted into school.
Uh-huh.
So this was back in the early 80s. I mean, I went to public school, but they were basically saying, look, you have to get vaccinated to go to school, which wasn't the truth. I grew up in Illinois, so there's, you know, religious exemptions. There's all kinds of exemptions, at least in Illinois. I don't know what the other states are doing where you actually don't have to be vaccinated to go to school. So, but that's what happens sometimes. Like if you go to, you know, documents just tell you things that aren't true, and it's kind of up to you to be educated and know what your rights are and stand up for them. But that's kind of how the world seems to be. So anyway, through my teen years, I was just really sick. And then in my early 20s, I'm weighing a little over 100 pounds. And I'm really close to death, Ernest. I was exhausted just with life and trying to deal with my health. And I noticed my wrists started getting really thin. And because I had this watch, and the watch started getting loose on me, and I was like, what's going on? And I realized my skeleton started degenerating. I started getting osteoporosis. I was thinking, well, what's wrong with my bones, you know? And then what I found out was long-term use of prednisone, the steroid they had me on, long-term use, a side effect of that was osteoporosis and bone degeneration.
Oh, my God.
So they never told me that when they started me on the drugs. And so I felt really betrayed. I was like, man, if they didn't tell me that, there's probably all this other stuff they're not telling me. Whether it's on purpose or out of their own ignorance, either way, I'm not being informed. So I kind of made a commitment to myself that I was going to take responsibility for
And you're what, 20 at this time?
I was about 22, 23 years old.
Okay.
And then, so I started reading books on health, and nutrition was always like being mentioned in the book, no matter what. Diet always came up as like the number one or one of the top few influences of your health. And I just, I started studying food production. I went on like a self-education course and drove around the country and visited over 200 small scale farms to learn about food production. And I learned, you know, and all these farmers are super healthy and they're drinking raw milk and eating all this food that the government says you're not supposed to eat. And I at that point I saw like the misinformation that was out there in society and why people are so sick. And
so what year was this? You know, what year are we talking about?
Well, I'm 43 now, so this was
late 90s.
About 20 years ago.
Okay, so late 90s, 2000, around.
Yeah.
So before 9/11, I mean, we got a market, you know. So
yeah, somewhere in that range. I mean, for me, it wasn't like a here's the date and I had an aha moment or anything like that. It was kind of like a bunch of small things happening over time, like where I realized I wasn't getting all the information about the side effects of the medication, and then you know. And I would read in this one book about health and then go to this other seminar. So it was kind of like this gradual thing over some years where I really started.
Well, did you have a day job? I mean, were you able to even have a job? Or were you learning computers? Your family supporting you?
I was on government disability. So I was on Social Security. I was on Social Security disability. And I actually, once I started eating different, changed my diet, and I got my health back, I was able to stop taking all medication. I put on over 50 or 60 pounds of healthy athletic weight. And I wrote the Social Security, the disability, I wrote the government a letter. And I said, take this back. I don't need this anymore. I was on permanent disability, permanent. And so I'm saying, I want to get off this disability. I don't need it. You know, this is like, give it to someone else who needs it or whatever.
I cured myself.
Don't give it to me because I don't need it. And then I actually had to argue with them, and I fought with them on the phone for it was several hours. They kept telling me, no, you need this, no, you need this. I said, no, I don't need it.
We're going into break. We got to hear, here's somebody cured themselves, wants to get off a disability, says, no, I'm good. And they're going, nah, nah. Now, that's a story in and of itself. We won't spend too much time on it, but it's definitely telling. We'll be right back. Max Payne, hero to the universe. Oh, good karma. Good things happen. What does that mean?
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
For the password thing.
Hub.
All right, go. Let me try it here. Oh, we're back. I'm sorry, guys. You know, we're yakking here and got to say hey to Steph that introduced us, and he's telling us his story and so on. So pick it up where you left off, man.
So I was fighting with the disability office, trying to get taken off disability. They kind of wanted to keep me on it. And so eventually they said, well, look, you got to give us something in writing. So I said, okay. So I drafted this official letter saying take me off disability. I didn't want to be on disability anymore because I didn't need it. I probably didn't need it in the first place. I just didn't know I didn't need it because I could have took action to better my health from the beginning. I just didn't know. I was ignorant. I wasn't educated. I wasn't brought up to know that diet and all the lifestyle things had to do with health. And when I went to the doctors for there, so it was something I kind of had to learn on my own. And then So I'm off disability now. I'm visiting all these farms, educating myself on health, and I start up FarmMatch because I want to. I mean, this is my mission in life. This is why I am alive here, is to help people connect with small farms in the area, eat better, eat healthier, take responsibility for their life. Effectively, I mean, that's freedom. If that isn't freedom, I don't know what is. You know, you gotta be able to be in charge of your health and your food. And I mean, otherwise, man, what do you have in life?
Well, it's very interesting that you are motivated. Well, you know, death will do that to you. You know, you're kind of like, man, I'm seeing in the mirror. Somebody better do something because nobody's helping me. I better do it myself. What the hell?
I just sent you a picture. You can put it up. I think it went to Donna. I went to producer.
Yeah, Donna, put this picture up. You know, I want to see. You know, audience, what was this? You at, you know, rail thin of I'm going to die?
Yeah, it's like a before and after picture.
Oh, my God. All right. So we'll get that up. Everybody wants to go to the archive for today is March 5th, 2021, in the third hour. And Donna, get that up. And let me yell for her. So she go ahead and get that up so everybody can see. But at what point did you go, oh, okay, I'm good with this disability thing? I mean, you know, I'm pretty healthy, and you know, I'm lifting, you know, boulders over my head, and it's kind of, you know, I don't need it. And then you had to fight.
It was pretty early in my healing. I wasn't.
She's doing it now.
Okay. It was pretty early in my healing. It wasn't. I had pretty much no progress in my health with the medical profession. My health was going the other way. I was degenerating. So when I changed my diet and I saw my health started turning around, I knew. I was like, wow, this is it. So, so it was, I think it was within a year of eating healthy, of changing my diet, that I got in touch with them. And,
really?
I had a copy of the letter I wrote. I could look at what the date was on it.
Hell, send that letter, Don. You put it up.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good letter.
Yeah. Do it.
I'll get you guys a copy of it.
Okay, let's do that. Now, the thing is that you're going to them, and their reluctance for taking you off was what do they care? Either way, they go, oh, man, you got to keep our numbers up or something. What are they talking?
Crazy. I don't know. They just try to convince me that I was like this victim and I needed help. It was kind of a weird, almost sick phone call, because I was telling the lady like, man, I'm turning my health around. I was like explaining I'm eating healthy, my symptoms are going away, and you know, I got my life back, everything's amazing. Instead of like being celebratory and happy, she was like, oh no, you don't understand. You need this. And I like almost like she was like brainwashed or something, or she was trying to brainwash me, or like she had blinders on. It was this crazy situation. I wish I had a recording of the phone call. I mean, maybe the NSA does, but
yeah, I'm sure.
But
maybe where you been, man?
They got it somewhere in the archives. So I don't have an explanation for why she acted that way. Other than, yeah, maybe they had a certain amount of numbers they wanted to keep up, or that's how they keep their jobs. Maybe she was genuinely interested in helping me, and she thought I was just totally delusional and that I didn't know what I was talking
about.
You have the
get out of poverty free card of you get the whatever and you're wanting to give. Yeah, that's too, I don't know, Caucasian of you or something. I don't know what the hell they were thinking, you know?
You think the goal of helping someone is to, like, if someone needs some help, you think the goal would be to, like, okay, I'm going to help you learn how to help yourself so you can have that independence, as opposed to, like, an oppressive assistance program that just oppresses a person. You know, you would think she would say, oh, we helped you and now you're ready to fly on your own. This is awesome.
No, I'm sure the mindset.
It was like the opposite, man. It was the opposite.
Yeah, no, they find it offensive that someone would give it back because it devalues what they're doing. You know, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I don't need you, I'm good. And that's kind of offensive to a lot of people that feel they're helping people by them taking the money. When somebody wants to return it, it reduces the value of that. you know, that whole concept in their head. So it's and it could have easily been a racist thing. You know, I mean, you know, I'll get in trouble for saying this, but you have, you know, how many people and what socioeconomic stage are they in, what race are they in, that they're calling and saying, no, I don't need it anymore. What? You know, how many, who's doing that? So it just, it probably messed with their head. It was their indoctrination of, you know, who, what, where. It's a stereotypical of you're not allowed, you know. You're exercising your white privilege to not take government handout, you freaking racist. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, you think I'm kidding. I mean, I'll say it out loud.
I'm laughing because I don't think you're kidding. I know there's, you know, some of the way these situations get framed in the media, you know, it's almost, I mean, this is probably going on, you know, it's almost as if the media frames it that way to sell media, you know, to like sell a story. They purposely frame, like the media likes to play the race card a lot. You know, to sell their.
Yeah, I don't want to go down this road in this conversation, but I find it very offensive to the quality people of. I don't even look at people by race. I don't care. It's just so way down.
I don't either.
It's way down on my give a crap list. And I thought that's what we were supposed to aspire to, is it didn't matter. And now I'm racist for saying it doesn't matter. And I'm going, man, you guys, this is short-lived. This is not going to maintain itself because it's just stupid. Stupid doesn't last. Stupid causes a bunch of damage, but it doesn't last because there's a bunch of stupid going on. So, let's get back to this. I know we can go down on that road forever. But you get out and you stop receiving the check, then somehow all of a sudden, I mean, how many checks did you get, you know, before they finally stopped sending it?
How long was I on disability for? I was probably on disability maybe 2 years, I think.
But I mean, when you said I don't want it anymore, how long did it?
Oh, when I said I want it, I called them up on the phone, and then it took me a while to get through, and then I had to talk to a certain lady, and it took me about a week to get in touch with her. She was like, I guess maybe one of the higher up people.
Yeah. I mean, how many people put forth the effort to stop giving me money when they keep on giving it to you?
So it took me about a week to get in touch with this lady. Then when I got in touch with her, she argued with me on the phone for a few hours. We're arguing on the phone, and then,
hours,
I was being really persistent. I mean, I wasn't intending to like be to argue, but I mean that's what it ended up being, just because
that's amazing. Okay, before we're going to run out of time on the live show here. We can talk a little bit after, okay. But you know, I want to make sure we get in, you know, some stuff for people. The future is what, you know, you're what's happening socioeconomically and everything. You feel that you're offering a good service and in a good position to people not die. I mean, that we can bypass all the crap and go straight to food to mouth. And if you bypass all that and get quality stuff and not die, boom.
Yeah, that's what it's about, man. Getting as close to your food source as possible and having that that control and freedom and responsibility in your life to be able to feed yourself. I mean, isn't that in the amendment somewhere?
Be able to.
Isn't that in
to the people I get to feed myself?
Well, the freedom of the people to peacefully assemble to do what? To exercise other rights. One of those being the right to feed you and feed yourself.
Not love if it's raw milk. Oh, Max Payne, I'm glad we caught up again. We're gonna pimp it, man. You give me those banner ad sizes, I'm your new best friend. All right.